Today's shiur is Masecht Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom, at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Oyv Lufnei Atev B'Yontav Rosh Hashanah. If somebody is the Baal Tefillah at the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, Hasheni, the second Baal Tefillah, the Baal Tefillah of Musaf, Maskia, is the one that causes that the Shofar should be blown. In other words, what the Mishnah is teaching us is that the shofar is blown by Musaf, not by Shachris. Mefarshim point out, why does the Mishnah, when it wants to teach us this din, use this terminology of a Sheni Maskia? Why doesn't the Mishnah just teach us that the shofar is blown by Musaf? So there are two answers that I saw in the Mefarshim that are relevant to Halacha L'maisa. One is that the Mishnah is teaching us that Tkiya shofar is to connect it to the brachas. As we've been learning, Tekiyah Shofar is connected to our recitation of Malchus, Zichronius, and Shofaris. And the Mishnah is indeed teaching us that when we're saying these brachas, that's when we blow the Shofar. But another shot given by many Rishonim is that the Mishnah is teaching us it should not be the same person who's blowing the Shofar. The same person should not be the Baal Tefillah. One person should be the Baal Tefillah, and one person should be the Baal Tekeiah. Because there was a concern, the Paiskum explained, the concern is that perhaps the Baal Tefillah will not be able to daven properly if he also has to concentrate on blowing the Shofar. The Paiskum say this was particularly relevant in olden times where they did not have machsoirim and about tefillah daven by heart, so was a concern that he would not be able to daven properly and also blow the shofar. Today, where the bali tefillah have machsoirim, it's not as much of a concern. Yet the poskim do point out that lechatchila the bali tefillah and the bali tekeiah should not be the same. Of course, this doesn't apply to the kiyas the miyushiv, the tekiyas that we blow before musaf, because then there's no davening taking place, and the baal tefillah can be the baal tekeiah. Or b'shas halal, when we say halal, harisha makris a halal, halal is said by shachris, we don't wait till musaf. Ask the gemara, ma'ishna sheni maskiya, why do we blow the shofar by musaf? V'shund b'roiv am hadris melech, we want to wait till musaf, for there's a larger crowd. So I saw three pshatim why the Gemara considers it a larger crowd by Musaf. One is simple. There are people that come to shul late, but by Musaf, most people are already in shul. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we just explained, they did not have machzorim, so the people had to rely on the Baal Tefillah to daven, and they should hear the Baal Tefillah's davening. Shachris, which is a shorter tefillah, and is a more common tefillah that we have at all the Yom Tovim, is more likely that people will know that tefillah bal peh and will not have to come to shul to listen. However, Musaf, which is a tefillah that's only said by Rosh Hashanah, and it's a long tefillah, Malchus, Zichronius, Shofaris, so there's a real concern that people don't know that tefillah, and therefore we're concerned that therefore it's more likely that there will be more people in shul by Musaf than there are by Shachris. Another pshat that I saw is that we want that the children should also be there for Tekiyah Shofar, and it's more likely that in the afternoon the children by Musaf will already be in shul. Ask the Gemara if there's such a concept. Abarov am hadras melech, ihochi hal nami name b'sheni mishum derov am hadras melech. So hal should also be said by Musaf, so when there's a larger crowd. El maishna hal de verishin, why do we say hal b'shachris? Mishum there's reason magdim la mitzvahs. When it comes to do mitzvahs, you want to do it sooner rather than later. So we say hal b'shachris, not by Musaf. Ask the Gemara, if so, Tekiyah Nami Nami Duration, Mishum Dizriz Magdim Lamitzis, so then Tekiyahs should also be said by Shachar because Dizriz Magdim Lamitzis. Rabbi Yochanan answers Rabbi Yochanan, B'shas Kseret HaMel Cheshanu. Our Mishnah is referring to the time when there was a decree against blowing the Shofar. The decree was that in the morning no shofar may be blown, and that's why they had to wait till the afternoon. Ask Tosfos, if so, why nowadays, when there is no such gzeira, do we still blow the shofar in the afternoon? So Tosfos says, because we're concerned that perhaps the gzeira will come back, and that's why Chazal left it that we blow tekiyah shofar by Musaf. Another answer that Ritva gives is that we know that by gzeiras Chazal, once Chazal make a gzeira, they want the gzeira to remain even when the reason for the gzeira is no longer relevant. Tosfos also quotes from Yerushalmi that by pushing off tekiyah shofar till the afternoon, Tosfos explains, we accomplish the following. In the name of the Yerushalmi says this. If the Goyim will see that we're blowing shofar in the morning, they may come to the conclusion that we're planning an attack against them, and may then get into that frame of mind. However, if they see that we're spending so much time in shul, davening and kriyas haTorah, and only then do we begin to blow the shofar, they will not think that we're planning any attack, rather that this is a day of prayer and we're spending a lot of time in shul. Ramosha asks in the Tshuvas that why doesn't the Gemara give a different answer? Musaf is more todir, is more common than tekiyah shofar, and we have a rule throughout Shas, todir todir v'she'en todir todir kaidim. So Ramosha answers that we cannot consider Tfilas Musaf of Rosh Hashanah to be more Tadir than Tekiyah Shofar. Because Ramosha explains the Tfilas Musaf of every Yontif is a separate Tfilah with no connection. So the Tfilas Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is only said on Rosh Hashanah, and Tekiyah Shofar is done only on Rosh Hashanah. So they're both equally Tadir, and the Gemara therefore cannot have given a reason of Tadir v'she'ena Tadir Tadir Kaidim. The Mefarshim also point out that the Gemara could have given a different reason. Why didn't the Gemara say, you know why Tekiyah Shofar is not done in the morning? Because, as we explained at the beginning of our shiur, Tekiyah Shofar must be done together with Malchus, Achronus, and Shofaris, and the recitation of Malchus, Achronus, and Shofaris is done by Musaf, not by Shachris. So the Mefarshim want to point out, from here we see that perhaps the Baal Hamor, who we quoted in the previous year, that says the Malchus, Achronus, and Shofaris are quoted, are said in all of the Tefillos of Rosh Hashanah, is the proper Shita, and therefore, even by Shachris we say Malchus, Achronus, and Shofaris. How will the Rishonim, who we follow, that we only say Malchus, Achronus, and Shofaris, answer this question? So they answer that perhaps that's all part of the Gemara's Shaklevataria. The Gemara's Shaklevataria is that we should say Malchus Achronus for Shofaris in the morning, in order that we should be able to blow Shofar in the morning. And that the Gemara says, no, because we have a concept of Gzeiros HaMalchus, and we try to daven, to try to push off Tekiyah Shofar till later. Other Mefarshim explain the reason why Tekiyah Shofar is blown later in the day is because the din, perhaps the din of Rosh Hashanah is later in the day, and we want to blow shofar b'shas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is judging us. And in fact, there's a minig that many shuls have because of this uncertainty of when exactly HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the world. There are many shuls that have the following minig. We know that one of the yitzris that's said in Rosh Hashanah by Tefillah is the yitzir, is the payit of Lekel Oirech Din Levoichin Levavois B'yoyim Din. It refers to the din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since we're not quite sure when the din takes place, many shuls have the menhagim, says the Shor Mitzvah B'Halacha, that they say Lekel Oirech Din on the first day by Shachris, and they say Lekel Oirech Din on the second day by Musaf, not being sure exactly when the din is taking place. Here we see in our Gemara the importance of Zrizim Magdim L'Mitzvahs, with Zrizim Magdim Lamitzvos, according to our Gemara, supersedes Beroiv Am Hadras Melech. And that's why many Paiskim say that a Bris Milah, even if one will wait till later in the day to make the Sudas Bris Milah, he will have perhaps more guests, he should make it earlier in the day, because there's reason Magdim Lamitzvos. In fact, the Steichemet has a discussion about Pinyan Aben, which generally Pinyan Aben are done later in the day, and the Steichemet says he doesn't understand why. Al Gemara is teaching us that Zrizim Magdim Lamitzvos. And in fact, he says that in his city, Izmir, in Turkey, the minig was that even Pinyan Abens were done in the morning. There are Paiskim that explain that we wait for a Pinyan Aben till later in the day because we want to make sure that's a full 30 days from when the child was born. But there is a discussion in the Paiskim, when do we say Zrizim Magdim Lamitzvos? And when do we allow other considerations to come into play? The traditional question is regarding Kiddush Levana. We know that the Shulchan Aruch says that the best time to say Kiddush Levana is on Matzoy Shabbos. But let's say we could say Kiddush Levana earlier in the month, but it's not yet Matzoy Shabbos. Should we wait till Matzoy Shabbos or not? The Masham seems to say that we should say it at the first available time, but there are many Paiskim that say that we should wait till Matzoy Shabbos. And the question is, why don't we say Zrizim Magdim Lamitzvos? So I saw from the Chidah, he explains that there are two types of situations. There's a situation where the mitzvah is being done earlier, Zrizim Magdim Lamitzvos, and there are outside considerations that make us perhaps want to delay doing the mitzvah. Roivam Hagris Melech. We want to make the bris in the morning, but if we'll wait, we'll have more guests. There, the halach is Zrizim Magdim Lamitzvos. Here, it's not a consideration that is outside of the mitzvah. It's a consideration that affects the quality of the mitzvah that's being performed. And a mitzvah, like Kiddush Levana, that's being performed Matzoy Shabbos, which the Shulchan Aruch says, that's the better way of doing the mitzvah. There, waiting for Matzoy Shabbos, even though it's not the earliest time, may be preferable. Continues the Gemara. Midakama b'shas halal. Since our Mishnah says that when halal is recited, it's said in chakras, it's obvious the mechlal, the Rosh Hashanah leka halal. On Rosh Hashanah, we don't say halal. Ask the Gemara Maitama, why indeed don't we say halal in Rosh Hashanah? As Mepharshim explained, isn't Rosh Hashanah a yontif? On a yontif, we say halal. Omer Rebbe Vua, Omer Malach Shoros Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Mlochim Saint HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbein Shloilim, Mepname Ein Yisrael, Oim Mashir Lefnecha, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Why don't Klai Yisrael say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Isn't it a yontif? Or as the Aruch Ner explains, the Gemara says in Masech Techulin, that the Mlochim cannot say Shira until we say Shira in this world. So the Malachim are asking Hashem, we can't say Shira because they're not saying Shira. Or why aren't they saying Shira? Omlam, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, Efshir, Melech Yoshev Kisei Din, the Sifrei Chaim, the Sifrei Mesim Psuchim Lefonav, the Swarm of the Living and the Dead are open in front of him. Bistralim, Shira, it's not a time for Shira because it's such a serious time. Mepharshim ask, what does it mean, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim? So, Pashup Shat, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim, mean the Sifrim of the Tzadikim, the Sifrim of the Rishoyim. Why the Sifrim of the Beinanim not mentioned? So, Mepharshim explain, because all the Beinanim eventually end up in one category, either in the category of Tzadikim or in the category of Rishoyim. But the Mepharshim continue to explain, why does it say Chaim Umesim? It should have said Tzadikim V'Rishon. So some explain, from here we see that in Rosh Hashanah, it's not only the Chaim, it's not only the people who are still alive that are judged, it's also the Mesim. The people who are no longer in this world are also judged on Rosh Hashanah. And that's why the minig is that on Yom Kippur we say Yisker, and that is why there is a minig that we give Tzedakah in memory of the people who are no longer here on the Yom Ha'Ra'im, because they too are judged during these days. Another pshat that I saw from the Parda Yosef is that Every person is judged according to whom he is and according to where he comes from. You know how the Chaim are judged, says the Gemara. You know how the Chaim are judged? Based on the Mesim. We look at who were your forefathers. From what kind of a family did you come from? From what kind of a home did you come from? What environment did you grow up in? And if you grew up in an exceptional environment, that will be a question to you. So if you came from such a great environment, why aren't you acting accordingly? The Farshim say, here we see that we don't say Shira or Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because the Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mesim are open. Yet we know that the halach is that in Rosh Hashanah, a person is supposed to be dressed nicely, he's supposed to take a haircut and shave, l'kavod yontif, and be confident that he will be Zoyche B'din. How do we reconcile? So one pshat I saw is that there are two dinim on Rosh Hashanah. There's the din of every individual, and there's a din of Klal Yisrael. Each individual can be confident that Be'ezer Hashem, he will be successful on Rosh Hashanah. But then there's the whole tzibur. The whole tzibur, we cannot be certain will be successful. And that's why we can't say Shira. Another pshat that I saw is that there are two aspects to Rosh Hashanah. One aspect is the past. What happened in the past? And everyone knows that everything we did in the past is perfect. Hallel is in fact generally said for the past. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the miracles that already occurred. That we can't do on Rosh Hashanah. But Rosh Hashanah also represents a day of hope, a day of a better tomorrow, a day of a better future. For that, we put on the nice clothing to represent that we're hoping that the coming year will be a good one. Teaches us the Mishnah. Shayfish al Rosh Hashanah. Eim avir no asvatchum. We're not allowed to go past the, we're not allowed to bring the shayfer past the tchum. Even though tchum is only drabonin, as we're going to learn, still, we're not allowed to take it past the tchum. Now, Rishonim already discussed, what is the din if a guy brings a shayfer from outside the tchum? And the Rishonim say that even though we've learned earlier that there's a difference in halacha, if the shofar, if something was brought for tchum, for the person who was brought for, or for someone else, in regarding kiyah shofar, most rishonim say that if it was brought mechutz tchum, it may be used for kiyah shofar. In fact, there's a machloikis rishonim if one may specifically ask a goy to bring a shofar mechutz l'tchum. Some Rishonim say that it's permitted, because it's a shvus to shvus. Bringing something from outside the tchum is a shvus. It's a shvus to shvus. And asking a guy to do malach is a shvus. So it's a shvus to shvus b'mokum mitzvah, which is permitted. Others say that one should not rely even b'mokum mitzvah l'chatchila on a shvus to shvus. Continues the Mishnah. We're not allowed to move stones out of the way to get to the shofar, even though blowing shofar is a deraisa. Chazal tell us, that's why most Rishonim explain, that we're not allowed to move stones in order to get the shofar, because that's not an essential part of the mitzvah. And there's an interesting tshuvas chasam sofer. The chasam sofer says, let's say someone was walking on the street on Shabbos, and he sees someone's wallet, and returning the person's wallet is a mitzvah asay of a Shabbos Aveda. On the other hand, carrying the wallet is an issue of moving muksa. Says the Chasam Sofer, from our Mishnah we see that we're not allowed to move muksa even to be mekayim mitzvah asay of tekiyah shofar. Similarly, we're not allowed to move a wallet to be mekayim mitzvahs hashavas aveda. Loi oilam be'ilan, we're now allowed to climb on a tree. Climbing on a tree is asur and yontif, because Chazal said we're concerned that if you climb on a tree, you may come to tear off a branch. For the reichma agav behema, similarly, we're now allowed to ride on an animal on yontif, also because we're concerned that we may tear off a branch to hit the animal. We're not allowed to swim, because Chazal said we're not allowed to swim on Yontif because we may come to build a raft. We're not allowed to cut the shofar. We're not allowed to do something which is only in Issa d'Rabbanan. Nor are we allowed to do something which is a lav d'Raisa. I'm right, so if one wants to put wine or water into the shofar to rinse it, to give it a better, to make it have a better sound, yiten he may. Svas Emes points out the one is only allowed to do this if his point is that it should give a better sound. But if what he's trying to accomplish is that till now the shofar wasn't giving any sound, and by now, by doing this, the shofar will give sound, that would be a isser of tikkun mana, of making something better, making something into a keli on yontif, which is usser. Ema atmos at the militkaya. We don't restrain children from blowing the shofar. We could work with them that they should know how to blow the shofar. The Rishonim, there's a machlokes Rishonim, how far are we allowed to work with them that they should learn how to blow the shofar? Some say we're allowed to teach them to blow, and others say not only are we allowed to teach them to blow, we even allowed to blow, that's how they'll know how to blow. A Masasik, somebody blows the shofar in an absent-minded fashion, lo yotza. The Mefarshim explained this is somebody who was just touching a shofar and accidentally a sound came out, or it was somebody who just was blowing, not with the shofar in his mouth, and then the shofar was nearby and sounds came out. But Shemei Menasasik, somebody who hears from a Menasasik, also lo yotza, has not fulfilled the mitzvah. My Tama, why indeed is the halacha that shofar, preparing the shofar, doesn't override these mitzvahs? Answers the Gemara, shofar, the mitzvah blowing in a shofar, it's mitzvahs asay. The yontif lois asay, esay v'lois asay. Yontif is an esay v'lois asay. Ve'en esay doicha lois asay v'asay. We have a rule throughout Shas that ain't esay doicha lois asay v'asay. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim ask, that why didn't the Gemara give a different teretz? The halacha is that when do we say essay doicha lois asay? Only when at the same time we're doing the essay, we're being over the lois asay. The classical example is somebody who's wearing tzitzis that are shatnas. So while I'm wearing the tzitzis, being a kind mitzvah asay of tzitzis, I'm being over the lav of shatnas. But here, when I'm preparing the shofar, I'm not doing the mitzvah shofar. This is not essay doicha lois asay. So some Rishonim answer, since the lois asay that are referred to in our Mishnah are only lois asay the Rabbonon, there we don't say, there we doesn't have to be at the same time. Another answer given is because since it's a mitzvah the Rabbim, it's a mitzvah that affects a lot of people, there this rule isn't applicable. Another teretz is that when do we say that the essay is doich lois asay only at the same time, if I'll be able to mekayim the essay in a different way. Here I don't have any other shofar. There we don't have the requirement that the essay be doich the lois asay at the same time. The Mishnah said, le'olam be'ilon v'roichven agaba behema. We're now going to do all these things in order to mekayim mitzvah shofar. Before we begin the Gemara, we have to say what Rashi teaches us. Rashi teaches us there are two types of Isuri Drabbanan. Some Isuri Drabbanan are takonis Drabbanan made, like Muksa, like Tchumim. There are other Gzeiros Drabbanan that were prepared to protect the Raisa. Like we said, we're not allowed to ride an animal because we may cut a branch. We're not allowed to climb a tree, we may cut a branch. Those are the Drabbanans that are protecting the Raisas, and a much stronger Drabbanans. Therefore, ask the Gemara, Hashtag Rabbanan, even a pure Rabbanan like Muksa, Tchum, Amrit Loi, we say we're not allowed to do in order to prepare to blow the shofar, the Raisa Meboya, so of the Rabbanan which is protecting the Raisa, certainly we're not allowed to do in order to be able to blow shofar. Why does the Mishnah have to teach it to us? Answers the Gemara, correct. Zuv ain't tzarech lo mezuktani. The Mishnah didn't have to teach it to us, but many times the Mishnah teaches us dinim in a fashion, first it tells us something, and then it tells us something which is obvious. We learned in the Mishnah we're not allowed to cut the shayfer. Whether it's a drabbanan or the raisa. Says the Gemara Mishum Shvus, which situation is with the rice or it's only the Rabbanan? Maglu, when we cut it with a sickle. Loisa say, when is it a the raisa? Maglu, when we cut it with a knife. Ask the Gemara again, hash the Mishum Shvus, Amrit Loi, if we said now we're not allowed to be over the Rabbanan, Loisa says, do we have to say that you're not allowed to be over the raisa? Answers the Gemara, the same teretz, Zuvein Tzarech Loi Mezugtani. So most Mefarshim, as we explained, the Gemara say, here we're referring to cutting the shayfer, cutting the horns off the head of the animal, and the Gemara is saying that cutting it with a knife is the way it's normally cut, they're normally cut, and that's Issa Deraisa. Cutting them off with a sickle is not the normal way, and it's Issa Derabbanan. Others say we're referring to pulling out the zachrus from inside the shayfer and pulling it out with a knife. As a normal fashion, pulling it out with a sickle is only a Issa Derabbanan. We learned Avam Roitz Leitin L'Toich Mayim Yain. If one wants to put wine or water into the shayfer to enhance its sound, Yitain he may do it. Says the Gemara Mayim Yain in only wine or water is permissible. May reglayim urine loy may not be put. Masnisimani, who's the Tanav Mishnah? Says the Gemara Abishalhi. The Tanya Abishal Oimer, Mayin or Yayin, Mutta Kadela Tzachtusoy. We'll have to put in wine or water to make it clean, to cleanse it, to make it give off a better sound. Meiriglaim also, they covered, even though the Meiriglaim may be very effective, but it's not respectful to use it for the Shaifer. The Mefarshim discuss who is it not respectful. Is it not respectful to the shayfer, or is it not respectful to Baal Tekeya? Because if it's not respectful to the Baal Tekeya, it may be if the Baal Tekeya says that he doesn't care, we would be allowed to put in Meiriglaim. Of course, the halacha is we're not allowed to put in Meiriglaim under any circumstances. The Mishnah taught us, Ein me'akven es t'tinoikos m'litkoya. We don't hold back the children from blowing the shayfer. Hanashim, women, me'akven. We do hold them back from blowing the shayfer on Rosh Hashanah. Vatanya, ask the Gemara, we learned in the Braisa, Amach, and Lais, and Nashav, Lais, and Tanaikas, with Kai, be Yontif. We don't hold back, not the women, nor the children, on Yontif. Answers the Gemara, Omer, Bai, Loikasha, Harab, Yehuda, these two Braises reflect a Machloikas of Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Daba, B'nai Yisrael. The Pasuk teaches us that before, when one brings a carbon, he has to do smicha. He has to lean his hands on the head of the animal. Teaches us the Gemara, Dav b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael samchim, only men do smicha, v'ein b'nei Yisrael samchis, not women. And Farshim explained that even though we know that normally, when the Pasuk says b'nei Yisrael regarding a mitzvah, it doesn't come to exclude women. Here they explain, since smicha is not an inherent part to the carbon, the pasuk is teaching us that women don't do smicha. Mefarshim also ask, why do we need a pasuk to tell us that women don't do smicha? Isn't it a mitzvah asay shezman groma? Because kabbonis are only brought by day, and we know women are exempt from mitzvah asay shezman groma. So I saw two answers. One answer is that since we find that smicha is compared to shechita, and since women do shechita, perhaps they should do smicha. That's why we need a limud that they're exempt from smicha. Another teretz I saw from the Tori Evan. When we say, says the Tori Evan, that women are exempt from mitzvah aseh shezman groma, mitzvah seishas magrami explains is a mitzvah that expires. For example, tefillin are only worn by day, says the Tori Evan. Once the day is over, the mitzvah of tefillin expired. Tomorrow, there's a new din, there's a new chiv of wearing tefillin. However, explains the Tori Evan, when we speak about karbonos, it's not that today, at the end of the day, the mitzvah kabbonis expire, and tomorrow is a new mitzvah. There's a mitzvah bringing kabbonis. Just as a technical difficulty, that kabbonis may not be brought at night. That is not considered a mitzvah to say shezman groma. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says women are not allowed to do smicha. Rashi says that a woman doing smicha when she's not supposed to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is a question about taisif. The Mashal asks on Rashi that we don't find, asked the Mashal, that we don't find Bataisif. Bataisif means only if you're taking a mitzvah and you're expanding it. You take 5 minim to the dalam minim. You make 5 batim to your tefillin. So the Mefarshim say that what Rashi means to say is that if we will allow women to do mitzvahs that they're not supposed to do, they may come also to be over, or men will even may perhaps be over Bataisif. Women, even though they don't have to do smicha, may do smicha. Similarly, here too, women may blow the shofar. Which this brings Tosfos to a very long discussion about women making brachas on mitzvahs seishes man groma that they're exempt from. And Tosfos quotes the Beit Tam that even a woman who wants to do a mitzvah that she's exempt from, mitzvahs seishes man groma, is allowed to make a bracha, even say the words with tzivanu, because these are mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael were commanded, even though she specifically might not have been commanded to do that mitzvah. And that's the way the Ramah paskins. The Rambam, however, paskins that women should not make a bracha on mitzvahs aseishas man groma. For example, a woman shouldn't make a bracha on the dalaminim, shouldn't make a bracha leishiv sukkah, and that's the way the Shulchan Aruch paskins. The Shagas Aryeh says, since our Gemara is teaching us that women are exempt from Tekiyah Shofar, says the Shagas Aryeh, that a man should not carry a shofar in the Rishus HaRabim just for a woman to hear Tekiyah Shofar, because they're really exempt. Many Poskim disagree with the Shagas Aryeh, since the women want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, like Tosfos says, if they want to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, they're allowed to be Mekayim the Mitzvah, it may be carried in Rishus HaRabim. The similar Shaila comes up, a man who is blowing Shofar on behalf of women, can he make a bracha, given that women aren't necessarily Mechoyev in the Mitzvah? So some say what a man should, that it, either the man should blow shofar for the women before he's mekayim the mitzvah. So when he's making the bracha, he's making the bracha for himself. Others say that the women themselves should make the bracha if the man was ready mekayim the mitzvah of tekiyah shofar. The Mishnah said, "Avmas askim behen at shilmadu." We could spend time with the children until they learn how to blow the shofar. Amar Belazar, afilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos, we're allowed to do this when Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. The Paiskim will say, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, that this din isn't relevant nowadays. Only Bizman Chazal, where the shofar was blown on Shabbos in front of Bezdin, is there a din that we're allowed to train children to blow the shofar after Tekiyah Shofar, even though we're not on Shabbos. But nowadays, that we don't blow for anyone the shofar on Shabbos, this din doesn't apply. Moreover, the Ramah says that even on Rosh Hashanah, which is not on Shabbos, and men certainly allowed to blow shofar to mekayim the mitzvah, says the Ramah that men, after they blew the shofar, should not just blow the shofar to practice or to play. On Rav Elazar, afilu b'Shabbos, we could train them. Tanya mihachi, mis'askim behen, we could work with the children to learn how to blow the shofar, afilu b'Shabbos. Continued the Braisa. We don't hold them back from blowing on Shabbos. When it's not Shabbos, when it's just Yontif. Ask the Gemara. Isn't the Braisa self-contradictory? Amrit, behen, we're allowed to train them a feel of a Shabbos. That means we're allowed to tell children, blow the shofar on Shabbos. V'hadatana, yet later it says in this very bris, Eim Akvin, we don't hold them back. Ikuvu hu d'lo Eim Akvin, it's only holding them back which we do not do. Ho'lechatchila lo emirin l'tchu, but we don't lechatchila tell them to blow the shofar. Answers the Gemara loy kasha. Kam b'katan shigil l'chinuch. And we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi. A child that already is the age that he's up to learning how to do mitzvahs. We even train him on Shabbos Rosh Hashanah to blow the shofar. A child is not yet that age. We don't stop him, but we don't actively train him. So the machlokes Rishonim how to understand higiyah l'chinuch. Some Rishonim explain that higiyah l'chinuch is 8, 9, 10, 8, 9, or 10. Others say Tosfos seems to learn that it depends on the age of the child. We learned in the Mishnah, famous asek, somebody blows absentmindedly, la yotza. Says the Gemara, Hatikelashir, if somebody's playing to make music and he's playing to make a song and the right koilos, the right sounds came out, yotza. Leim Masai LeRava. This corroborates something that Rava taught us. That Merava Hatikelashir yotza. Says the Gemara, we don't necessarily have a proof from our Mishnah. Because Dilma, Tekei Lashir, somebody who blows Lashir, Nami Misasakarle, is considered a Misasek. So we don't have a proof. Continues the Mishnah, Vashameim in a Misasek. If somebody hears the shofar from a Misasek, Lo Yotza, he was not Makayim the Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Ava Mishameim in a Shmila Atzmai, it seems that our Mishnah is teaching us that if somebody is blowing the shofar in order to be Makayim the Mitzvah, but he has himself in mind, and he doesn't have the person listening in mind, Yotza. My, what is the halacha? Yotza, under such circumstances, the person hearing the shofar was Makayim the Mitzvah. Perhaps this is a refutation of what Reb Zeira taught us. Reb Zeira told the Shamas, we learned the Gemara, Ichavim v'tkali, have kavana when you blow for me. If the Batikeya doesn't have the kavana, according to Reb Zeira, was Mekayim the Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Dilma either Tani Reish Misasik, since the first case of the Mishnah is talking about a Misasik, Tani Seif Nami Misasik, that's why the Seif also teaches us about a Misasik, but it could very well be that even if the person was not a Misasik, he was blowing for himself, but he was blowing for himself not intending that the listener should be Yotza, he's also not Makayim the Mitzvah. Says the Mishnah, Shit, say to Kiyas, Sholosh, Shalosh, Sholosh. We have to blow three times, Tekiya, Teruah, Tekiya, one for Malchus, one for Zechronius, one for Shaifus. Shit, Tekiya, how long does the tekiyah have to take? Kisholosh teruas. The time it takes to make three tekuas. Three teruas. Shir teruah. What is the shir teruah? Kisholosh shibavos. Three short sounds. So Rashi explains that it means that the teruah is three short sounds, and that's how long the tekiyah takes. Taisa says that the teruah, the minimum length of a teruah is nine short sounds, and that's how long a tekiyah has to be. Now Tosfos explains there's a very big machlokes in what the minimum length of a tekiyah has to be. The time for three sounds or nine sounds. Furthermore, Tosfos teaches us that the tekiyah, the length of the tekiyah varies in which seder we're blowing it. If we're blowing it with tekiyah shvarim teruah, then it has to be a longer tekiyah. If we're blowing it only with teruah, tekiyah is teruah tekiyah, only tekiyah shvarim tekiyah, based on the length of the shvarim, that's how long the tekiyah has to be. Based on the length of the tekiyah, teruah, that's how long the tekiyah has to be. Furthermore, Rashi, that teaches us that the length of a teruah is three short sounds, so we would think that Rashi is teaching us a kula, that the length of tekiyah could be very short. But there's also a chumrah in Rashi's words. Because according to Rashi, we have to be very careful that each sound produced by the shvarim should not be too long. Because once it's too long, it may be already a tekiyah and not be considered a shvarim. Talk to Brishayna. If somebody made a tekiyah, and then he made a truah, or Moshe b'shniya kishtayim, and he blew the tekiyah after the shvarim, it should be so long that he could be mekayim with that, the tekiyah after the teruah, and the tekiyah for before the next teruah. The halacha is, en b'yodei halachas, that's considered only one tekiyah. So most Rishonim explain that this is considered one tekiyah. He only has the tekiyah after the teruah, and he has to blow a new tekiyah to do tekiyah before the next teruah. However, the Ritz Evangeis says that if he blows this long tekiyah with the intention that it serve a dual tekiah, the tekiah after the truah, and the tekiah before the truah, says the Ritz of Engeis, it's not considered any tekiah at all. He only has the tekiah that he blew before the truah to be considered a good tekiah. And he has a very nice raya, because he asks, otherwise, why is our Mishnah speaking about the first tekiah? It has no place in our Mishnah. Of course that's a good tekiah. It must be that the Mishnah is teaching us that only that tekiah is a good tekiah, no other tekiah is a good tekiah. How will the other Rishonim that argue on him explain the first tekiah? They explain like this. They say that perhaps the Mishnah is teaching us like this. Talk about Rishonim. The first person blew a tekiah. Let's say that tekiah took 10 seconds. Now the second tekiah took 20 seconds. So we would think that since the second tekiah took double the amount of time of the first tekiah, that should be a clear proof that it should serve for two tekiahs. Teaches us the Mishnah, it can't serve for two tekiahs, it could only serve for one tekiah. The Tosfos Yontif also asks, how could it serve as a tekiah for both the tekiah after the truah and the tekiah before the next truah? Doesn't he have to say it's a chroinius? So the Tosfos Yontif says, first of all, the halacha is that the evidence, if you blow later, it's acceptable. Furthermore, Tosfos Yontif explains, as we said yesterday, the Rishonim that say that to Mekayim, the mitzvah of Malchus Achronis Shofers, it may be enough just to say, Uvesayroscha, Kosov, Leymar. And that's what happened in during this time where he's blowing the long tekiah, the call, Sarabasroscha, Kosov, Leymar, and the Mekayim Achronis. Mishaberich, somebody that blew, somebody said Malchus Achronis Shofers, and only afterwards, Afkach Nisnam Le Shofar, only the, afterwards the Shofar becomes available for him, Tekei Merev, Tekei Sholosh Pamin. Teaches us the Mishnah. Kshem She Shliach Tzibur Chayiv, just like the Shliach Tzibur is Mechuyiv to say, Malach Yisrael and Shofaris, Kach Kol Yochav Yochat Chayiv. So too is every individual obligated to say Malach Yisrael and Shofaris, if he can. They don't have to say it. They can be Mekayim Malchus Rishonim and Shofaris by hearing it from the Shliach Tzibur. There's some Rishonim that want to explain that the Mishnah is teaching us that just like the Shliach Tzibur blows Tekiyas by Musaf of the Chazar Sashat, the Tanakhama is teaching us Kach Kol Yochav Yochid, so too are Tekiyas blown during the Shemar Esrei that everybody says quietly before Chazaras Hashatz, which is the basis of the Minig of the Aruch, which many people from the Chassidish community follow, and that the Kiyas are blown also during the silent Shemar Esrei. The Mishnah said, Dumar asks a stira, Vatanya, we learned in a Braisa, Shir Tekiyah Ketrua. The Shir Tekiyah is like one Trua. Our Mishnah said that the Shir Tekiyah is like three truas. And Rabbi Tana the Don, the Tana of the Mishnah, Kachoshev Tekiah the Kula Babi. He's talking about all the Tekiahs, the three Tekiahs, and he's saying the truas the Kula Babi. All the Tekiahs have to equal all the truas. Tana the Bra, the Tana the Braisa, is Kachoshev Khad Baba. He's speaking about one set, and he's saying each Tekiah has to be the same length as the time it takes to blow the trua. Why, asked the Mefarshim, does he have to put, why, according to this explanation, do we have to put all three tekiahs together? So first I'll explain, one would think that perhaps the Shia tekiah is not the same by each one of the sets. Teaches us the Gemara that the Shia of each one of the sets is the same. Shia trua, the Mishnah taught us that the time of the trua is kishol shababas, the time to make the three short sounds. Ask the Gemara Vatanya, Shia trua kishol shabarim, the time it takes the trua to make three long sounds. Now we certainly have a machloikis between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Yom Truah Yilchem. Umetargaminen, Yom Yivava Yilchem. Today Yivava. The Ksiv, the Imid of Sisera. It says by the mother of Sisera. Sisera, we know, was a general who was persecuting the Jews, and Yael had killed him. His mother was standing by the window. Barach Aloy Nishkafa V'tiyabe V'im Sisera. By the window was the mother of Sisera waiting for him, crying. Masava, what kind of sounds was she producing? Genuche Ganach, longer sounds, which we know as Shvarim. Or Masava, Yulule Yulala, which are the shorter sounds, referred to in our Mishnah, which we know as a Truah. The Farshim ask, why is the mud of Sisro used as the model how we know what Tekiya Shofar, how to blow the Shofar? Shabbal Yashiv explains that the lesson of the mother of Sisro is that the mother of Sisro was a general, he was a powerful general, extremely successful. And the lesson is, and that's the lesson of the Shofar, that no one should ever be sure of himself, and no one should ever be certain that he will indeed be successful. Look where Sisro was, and look where Sisro is. Along the same vein, I saw Mefarshim explain, there was really a debate taking place in the home of the mother of Sisro. Some people were saying that there's something to worry about why Sisro is being delayed. Another say, no, he's certainly fine and he'll come soon very successful. So too should it be one's perspective of Rosh Hashanah. We don't know what will be. Will it be a not successful year, or be Ezer Hashem, the Shofar will help us have a successful year.